So I want to read to you, just as we start up. You don't have to turn there, but I just want this to read this to you. This is in Mark chapter 4 and verse 24. Jesus says this, "Then he said to them, take heed to what you hear." Take heed to what you hear. You know, in World War II, there were soldiers that went into the enemy lines, behind the enemy lines, to get information that was critical in the victory that we eventually had. And they were spies. They would go into the enemy lines, into Germany, and they were able to, many times, extract information that was critical to a certain battle, where they were going to hit, where they were going to be, what they were going to do. And they would go in at great risk to themselves. Some of them never were able to come out with that information, but many of them were. And so they snuck into enemy lines, behind the enemy lines, into Germany, and were able to find out information and bring it back. And when they brought it back, it brought significant victory to the Allies. Tuesday morning, God woke me up early in the morning, and my sleep pattern has been interesting recently, as I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and just will pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. And maybe about, I don't know, 6 o'clock, I'll finally go back to bed for 20 minutes and then get up again. And that has been happening just repeatedly. And predominantly I'm praying for our nation. We are in a interesting time, and God is asking us that we would be vigilant like we've never been vigilant before. And so is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Guys, listen. We're not in Kansas anymore. Hello. We don't live in 1962 anymore. We are in this crazy, radical battle, and there's so many Christians that want to just put their head in the sand and not recognize who are in the battle. There are so many pastors that don't want to stand up for righteousness. There's so many pastors that are so afraid to talk about the children that are killed every day in their mom's wombs, and nobody says anything about it. The early 70s, you know what? We as a nation used to stand up for the unborn. We as a nation used to say it is not okay that this little person inside women's bodies have a constitutional right as Americans to live. That's what we said. We had a great book on the book table, and it was talked about the comparisons with what happened with the Germans and Nazi Germany and all the lies that were told. And pretty soon people started to begin to listen to the lies, and they believed the lies. From the Nazis, we got this understanding. They taught this, that if you said a lie long enough to enough people, eventually they would start to believe that lie, even though it wasn't true. Come on, somebody say amen to this. Amen. And we got Christians who are just like, well, I don't want to be political. I don't want to be controversial. I don't want to be, hey, wake up. Listen, if we just live a life, what is the goal of our life? If the goal of our life is just to live and, you know what, eat Dorito potato chips and you know what, and watch a flat screen, and you know what, and I'm not ripping on the Dodgers. Thank God they finally won. Hallelujah. You know what? Nobody was able to watch them, but thank God they finally won. Okay. Yeah, nobody watched the Angels. Huh? Angels were playing golf this year. Amen. But here's my point. If that is the goal of our life, you know what? Who cares? You know, wouldn't we be smarter to live a really quality life to 50 than, yes, 50, than to live a long life forever that nobody cared about what we did? See, we think longevity is the number one goal. Is it really? We think comfort is the number one goal. Really? Because I don't think it is. And I think we've gotten we've gotten too comfortable. We need to read the New Testament and understand that Paul's badge of honor to apostleship. You know what it was? It was what he did to sacrifice for Christ. So I woke up Tuesday morning, and I had already been up for a long time, and I heard God speak to me. And I heard God say this. He said, watch what you say, watch what you fear, and watch what you hear. Somebody write this down. Watch what you say, watch what you hear, or watch what you fear. And then, and I wrote it this way because this is how I heard it. When he said, watch what you say, watch what you fear. But then when he said, watch what you hear, it was like it was in all caps. Watch what you hear. And the reason why I bring up the enemy lines in Germany and them getting an understanding is because I want you to understand when God speaks to us, we've got to understand he works many times in places of authority and people with authority. And I'm not saying he can't speak to you, because you know what? You're saints of God. You're children of God. The Bible says that the children of God hear, that my sheep hear my voice. Amen. When you know, back in that day, the shepherds would come together. And when they came together, their sheep would come together. And it was interesting because they didn't have a branding system back then. But the sheep would know the voice of the shepherd. And so even all these hundreds of sheep being together and was like, oh my goodness, how are we going to separate them out? Because there'd be three or four or five shepherds would all come together and hang out for a little bit. You know what I mean? Have a sandwich or something, right? And so then they'd leave, and when they'd leave, you know what? The shepherds would call their sheep, and their sheep would be able to separate each one to each shepherd. The Bible says, you know my voice. Yeah, there it is. And so I'm not dictating to you like I can hear God better than you, but having said that, I understand that God works in ranks. And I understand that God spoke this word to me to speak this word to you. Matter of fact, when it happened in the morning, I had just texted a bunch of people in the church. Listen, if you want to receive my text after the service, you know what? Joel will be in the back. You go there, give him your phone number, because I want you to be on my text list. Don't be offended that you're not. Just be proactive and get on my text list. Amen? So I texted a bunch of people the night before. That because I heard God spake. I heard God spike to me. I heard God speak to me, and he said, you know what? Start reading Psalms 92 or 94. What was it? 94. And it's been ministering to me and ministering to me and ministering. So I text that out. And then in the morning, when God spoke to me and told me that, he said, look up, because I knew the story, but he said, look up the story of the man that his child was to the point of death. And I want you to look it up. I want you to know where it is, because I want you to text that to people. And Jesus, and we're going to teach this today, but this man had a child, was at the point of death, was going to die. This man is desperate for Jesus. How many know some of you need to get desperate for Jesus? And he was desperate for Jesus, and he went to him, And Jesus said, I'll come over to your house. As he was coming to the house, the woman with the issue of blood, she had an issue. She was desperate for Jesus. She comes to him, holds the train up as because they're walking to the house. As they're walking over to the house, somebody from the house comes to him and says, don't bother the master anymore. Your child is dead. And then Jesus looks at him and says, don't fear, only believe. And that's the text. That's the specific text that how many still believe God speaks to people? And God spoke to me and said, I want you to know where that is because I want you to text that out to these people. So let me reiterate. What am I saying? I'm saying we are getting direction from God. We're getting direction from God. Teen Challenge students, listen to me. I'm your pastor and I'm speaking to you. So listen very carefully. And all these other people are listening, but I want you to listen to me. Because now is not the time for you not to be disciplined. Now is not the time for you to not be very discerning in what you're taking in. And that's to everybody in this room, in this place. Everybody watching us through, you know what, the broadcast today. Now is not the time to not be disciplined. But he wanted me to text that, and I text that to several people. I thought, man, I just text them something last night. And he said, well, text them again this morning. And I texted to several people. Again, if you want to be on my text list, you know what I mean? Here, I'll say this. Listen to me. I'll say this. The Bible says that we are not to forsake the gathering of the brethren. But then it says, especially as this day approaches. How many know we are one day closer to the coming of the Lord than we were yesterday? How many would sense it is very, very close upon us? Okay. And Robert Morris, who is a wonderful teacher and has taught me so much, he says this, the closer you get to your pastor, the smarter you are. Because the sheep that get picked off are the sheep that are far from the shepherd. Amen. Now, I say that on purpose because I'm going to tell you something else. I don't know what you're doing tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. And this is not a commercial. I do not, what do they call that when you get all these sites and you get all these people watching you, you start making money? Ads? Okay. Well, what they call it something else. You start what? Yeah, I'm not looking to be monetized, okay? I don't think if everybody at Hope watched our program, I don't think I'd make 50 cents. Amen? But here's what I'm saying. I'm saying there's needs to be this this focus on drawing close to God like there's never been before. And I'm telling you, as anointed as I've ever felt the anointing. How many know you can feel the anointing? It's like, whoa, God is rubbing off right now. That's what anointing is. It's rubbing off. God is rubbing off right now. As much as I've ever felt the anointing, it's in the morning at 10 o'clock as I go over chapter after chapter. It is. Very, very helpful. And for those of you who aren't part of that, discipline yourself and become part of it. All right. Let's turn to Mark. Turn to Mark chapter 21. Or chapter 21. Mark chapter 5. And let's go to verse 21. Mark chapter 5, starting with verse 21. Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude, somebody say great multitude, gathered to him and he was by the sea. A lot of times, imagine trying to count people. There were thousands. Try to imagine to count those. And so a multitude was a group of people that just go look and go, oh, how many people there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Did I count you yet? And then they just go, oh, it's a multitude. You know what I mean? Because there was so many people and it was so easy to lose count, they just would call it a multitude. But it probably was definitely way more than 100, and it was probably easily into the thousands. Jesus often would teach in a boat because he could, the water was a natural amplification of your voice. Your voice would bounce off the water, a lot of other people could hear it. But it was also a system that he didn't, because he was so crowded all the time, he'd constantly have to be backing up and backing up and backing up and backing up. And so he would use a boat and just get a little offshore. But in this case, there were so many people. There's a multitude of these people. They're all over the place. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell on his feet. One of the rulers of the synagogue. Somebody say, run over the rulers of the synagogue. Now, let me teach you about that for a minute. These rulers of the synagogue, Jesus, how many know Jesus wasn't their favorite person? See, Jesus, how many know you can get jealousy? You can get jealous in ministry sometimes. And they started to get jealous. And so, but how many know some of the rulers of the synagogue believed Jesus? Can I tell you what? When you get desperate enough, you're going to come to Jesus. Amen. See, some of you are too comfortable in your situation, and it's a dangerous place. I don't know who I'm speaking to. Listen to what I'm saying. It's a dangerous place to get where you got it all going on. You got a good job. You know what? You got a nice car. You know what? You got a, you know, even your mask is cool. You know, you don't have one of those just normal masks. You like got a Dodger mask, or you got a, you know what I mean? You got it going on. You know what I mean? You got a Batman mask. Whoa. You know what I mean? And it's dangerous to get comfortable. God writes the Israelites and he says, my will is, listen to me, God wants us to be taken care of. There's a lot of criticism in teaching where teachers will sit out and say, God wants to take care of you. Well, I got a problem with those people that got a problem with that kind of teaching. And here's why, because it's all throughout the Bible, amen. And I'm not saying that we can't take a truth and distort it and it gets twisted, because we can take a truth and put it this way and it becomes troublesome. But if you are sitting there and telling me that God doesn't care about every aspect of your life, I'm saying you haven't read in the Bible, amen? Because that's what the Bible says about us. But here's what the Bible also says. When we are in that position, you better be careful. Because you have a tendency to forget about God. There's people come to church and you know what? If it's too warm or it's too cold or the music is too loud or it's too soft or it's too fast or it's too slow or you know what? Or whatever it is. Are you kidding me? Come on, somebody. Are you kidding me? I didn't like, you know what, they didn't say hi to me, or you know what, come on, mamas, let me talk to you for a little bit. Come on, mamas, let me talk to you for a little bit. Well, I don't know why, you know what, that teacher always gives my child a color, you know, a crayon that's broken. Listen, you want to criticize the children's ministry? Sign up in the children's ministry, amen? Become part of the solution, amen? Go out and buy everybody some crayons, amen? Hallelujah. Do you know what I'm saying? See, we can get critical about any of it. And all of a sudden, the church becomes a consumer mentality. It's like, ooh, I'm going to check it out. Listen, if you're called here, get here. Amen? Yeah. Amen. If you're called here, be here. Amen? If you're called here, get here. Be here. Come here. And be part of what God is doing. Amen. And stop criticizing. Amen? Start being part of the solution. Amen. I'm smiling, right? I'm smiling. Just checking. I'm smiling. Okay? But listen, I say that because I don't want you to think that I don't say this in love. I say this in love. Your words, the Bible says, your words will justify you and your words will condemn you. You know, you can talk yourself out of the very church that you've been called to be part of. Oh, somebody can say amen to this. You can talk yourself out of the very church that you're called to. Listen, when I don't like, you know, Pastor used to wear slacks and now we wear jeans. Well, so what? Maybe next week I'm going to come up with jeans with a hole in it. Ooh, God forbid that. Amen? Pastor's gone overboard. You know what? He used to wear jeans. Now he wore jeans with a hole in it. Amen. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. But we come up with all this stuff. This guy understood. I don't care who I am. I don't care God's position. I don't care Jesus' position. I don't care that he is just some carpenter's son. It doesn't make any difference. When you get desperate enough, you're going to come to Jesus. You're going to put down your sarcasm. You're going to put down your criticism. You're going to put down your all the stuff that exalts and makes no difference at all. And you're going to come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I need help in my marriage. Jesus, I need help. You know what? The doctor gave this report. And you know what? And I have no intention in dying before I see my kids graduate or whatever you come up with. Whatever you have need of. Some of us, you know what, we just got too comfortable. We just allow, watch this, and the very things that God is blessing us with, now we've gotten so comfortable that we don't need God anymore. And that's not where this guy's at. This guy's like, I need, look what it says. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she might be healed and she will live. Amen. That is worshiping God. Worshiping God is exalting him and recognizing that he can do anything. God loves that. Yeah. And he bows down at him and he's begging him to come. And I want you to notice Jesus' response. Jesus is saying, well, you know what, if I have time, you know, I'm a little bit busy right now. You know what, there's stuff, there's like, you know, can't you see all these people? Can't you see I'm busy? Don't you understand who I am? I'm the Son of God. Who set you? Where's your appointment book? You know what I mean? Because God's not that way. And matter of fact, of the apostles who started acting that way, got, like my dad said, too big for their britches. God says, I find it interesting that as the guy who's crying out, the blind guy's crying out and saying, Lord, have mercy on me, Son of David. That Jesus is the one who says, whoa. They're trying to shut him down. The apostles are trying to shut him down. Jesus is the one who says, whoa, wait. Catch the irony here. Catch what God is doing. You guys that are trying to shut him down, you go get him and tell him to come here. Do you catch it? He does the same thing with the kids who want to be with him. What are you doing? What is your problem? See, here's what the Bible says. Anyone who knocks, the door is going to be open. Anyone who seeks will find. I teach this at funerals all the time. One of my favorite things to teach. Well, I'm going to teach it to you right now. Zacchaeus, who's up in the tree, again, there's a multitude. You say, Pastor, you like Starbucks? I hate Starbucks. No, really, I hate Starbucks. Well, why you have a Starbucks cup? Because when they have two for one, when they have buy one, get one free, guess what? I will go to Starbucks. I'm not paying $5 for this. I will pay $2.50 for this, but I will not pay $5 for it. I drive by Starbucks all the time. See ya. Hold my cocoa for me. Where was I? No, I was past that. Zacharias, thank you. Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus. Why does Jesus stop? Again, there was a multitude. Why does he stop? He stops because he has to stop. Let me tell you about God. God honors his word. He is not a man that he can lie. He said, anyone who seeks is going to find. Anyone who knocks is going to be open. Zacchaeus was seeking Jesus. So Jesus, with all those people, he's walking and he's got to stop. He's got to stop. Let me talk about Jesus. Jesus loves you and he cares about you. And when you will have the sense to slow down your life and recognize how much you need Jesus, Jesus will have time for you too. Amen. He's desperate. You know what? Come. And I love what he says. He's not like maybe, not if, not eh. You know, sometimes we think that about Jesus. You know what? Can I tell you what kind of prayers Jesus loves? Jesus loves prayers of faith. He loves faith. The Bible says that it's impossible to please him without faith. You must believe. Here's what the Bible says. Right after that, it says you must believe and, somebody say and. Come on, somebody say and. Come on, somebody say and. And you have to believe that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. See, all this negative talk out of, ooh, you know what? God don't want to bless you. You know what? Read your Bible. It's on every page. God loves his children. He wants to bless you. In what way? In every way. In every way. People are, I don't think, you know, God cares. Are you kidding me? Just look at how God treated his children, the Israelites. Look at how he treated them. He wanted them to be completely taken care of. Now, he didn't want them to forget about him as he was taken care of. And that's the problem. Some of us, as God is blessing us, next thing you know what? We're so busy, we don't have time for God. Well, that's ridiculous. So, this guy knows he needs God. And I love what he says because he's like, look what he says. You know what? Lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. Listen to his words. He's not ambiguous. He's not like, oh, let's try this, God. Maybe you can heal her. Maybe you can. I don't know. We're not sure. You know what? Let's try it. That's not what he says. God loves, you know what? Are when we reach out in faith, when we're adamant not to doubt, just to believe him, believe his word. James says we need to be careful because when we come to him with unbelief, the Bible says, don't expect that you would receive anything from God. And there's a lot of people that theologically they have a problem with that. Well, I don't know what you do with that because that's in the Bible. It's throughout the Bible. And if you look at this, this guy said it, and guess what? In the same day, his daughter, who was dead, was eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Okay, well, I don't know if it was, you know, peanut butter and jelly, but she was eating something. How many hear what I'm saying? How many have an intense situation in your life right now. It's intense. You got a lot of stuff going on. It's intense. You know what? Go to Jesus. And don't ask in with doubting. That's what James says. Don't ask with doubting. Be a believing believer. Just go for it. Amen. So what happens? There's this woman right in the middle of this. So Jesus says yes. So what happens? This woman, she's got an issue of blood for 12 years. She's a great example. I don't have time to teach it, but I'll say this. That she has an issue of blood for 12 years. Watch this. She comes to Jesus, and what does Jesus do for her? He changes her situation. Can I tell you what Jesus is? Jesus is I'm going to change your mess. That's who he is. That's who he is over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. From India, Dr. Kegel. When Leslie Kegel was here, and I asked him, I said, I knew that I was being vulnerable. I knew I was, but I just had asked. This man has prayed over people who are dead and they come to life. Well, how many know you might ask that guy a couple questions? You know what I mean? I said, how do you do that? Like, how does your mind not just go, they are dead? This is going to be embarrassing when they don't stand up and they don't start breathing. How do you do that? Here's what he responded to me. He said, here's what I do. I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then I read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. And he said, after you read it so many times, you start to understand, you start to take off limitations of God. You start to understand that Jesus was a man, but that he emptied himself of all heavenly privileges, and he just functioned as someone who is filled by the Spirit. And you start reading it and reading it and reading it, and you start thinking in your, because faith comes through hearing, and it starts changing how you think. And you don't think in those terms anymore. And when the Holy Spirit says, lay your hands on that person, you don't think, oh, they're dead. You think, well, Jesus said, you know what? The signs that I do, you'll do, and greater than this. That's what you think. And so you have the boldness to function in that. And you watch this. I'm teaching you something. And because you have the boldness to function, understand this, that woman that had the issue of blood, she went to all other kind of sources, and the Bible says she didn't get any better, but she got poorer. They took her money, but they wouldn't help her. And that was the woman that went to Jesus, said, when I touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be healed. And that is the woman that before she walks away, Jesus, for her sake, for everybody around, including ourselves, says, you know what? Your faith made you whole. You can't change the narrative of the New Testament. That's what he said. What do you think he said that for? I believe it's clear. He said that we would understand. This guy is, and after that happens, they come up to him with a negative report. What was it that God had spoken to me that morning, Tuesday morning? He said, watch what you say, watch what you fear, watch what you hear. Let's jump down to verse 32, and he looked around to see her who had done this thing, touched him. But the woman, fearing, trembling, knowing that what had happened? She called on the power of God. fell before him and told him the whole truth. Verse 34, and he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your afflictions. Thank you, Jesus, for this woman's willingness to believe God for a miracle in her life. Because it's a testimony to us still. Next verse. While he was still speaking, I want you to catch this. Sometimes we just read the Word of God. It's really good to imagine what's happening. While he's still speaking, this guy is over here. While he's still speaking, somebody comes up to him and starts a conversation. You ever been in the midst, like at the table we were at yesterday, there were three conversations going. Jesus is still speaking. Somebody comes up to Jairus and says, watch, says, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house and said, your daughter is dead. They're not talking to Jesus. They're talking to the ruler. Why trouble the teacher any further? Now, here's what I want you to catch. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he's having a conversation. You ever had a conversation? Your wife ever done this to you? She's having a conversation, and you're having a conversation. And she stops her conversation and says, no, that wasn't 30 days ago. That was 31 days ago. Wow. Becky, you ever done that? Yes, because you guys are sharp, huh? He's having a conversation, and as soon as he hears that out of their mouth, why? Here's why. Here, write this down. Words breed fear. Fear breeds unbelief. Unbelief breeds ruin. Somebody write this down. I'm not even done, but we'll stay with the first part. Words bring fear. Fear breeds unbelief. Unbelief breeds ruin. Now write this down. Fear breeds hope. Hope breeds belief. Belief breeds prosperity. Words breed hope. Hope breeds belief. Belief breeds prosperity. You say, Pastor, those are the same words. Exactly. Well, they're not the same words. They are words. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. The question is, what words are you listening to? Or let me say it another way. Whose report are you listening to? Listen, for most of us, we need to stop listening to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox News. We just need to turn it off. Let me tell you what. I know who this is for. Please listen to me. Because I'm like, oh, they wouldn't lie. They lie. They just tell outright lies. You ever heard of this agency, I guess? It's called The Guardian. You ever heard The Guardian? The Guardian is not a conservative organization at all. The editor and co-founder of The Guardian resigned 2 weeks ago. And he resigned 2 weeks ago because he wrote an article based on all kinds of facts, and they told him he could not publish that report. Could not publish that report. And he was like, what in the world? It's news. It's the truth. I'm the co-founder of this. They said, no, you can't. He quit. He said, I've had it. See, I'm going to teach you two things today. Are y'all still here today? I'm going to teach you two things today. You need to stop listening to the lies. Because, why? Because words breed fear. Fear breeds unbelief. Unbelief breeds ruin. Jesus said, take heed to what you hear. You need to not just turn off the TV, you need to change the channel. You need to start listening to words of faith, words of hope, words of joy, words of, here, you know what? You want to listen to something good? Come on, I'm setting you up. I mean, want to listen to something good? Write this down. Discoverhope.us. No, I'm serious. This is a church that we teach the Word of God. It brings, faith comes through hearing the Word of God. The Bible calls God the God of all hope. The Bible says hope doesn't disappoint. See, part of the problem is in our life is because we're taking in this junk. Protect your heart with all diligence. You know that song? You know what? The head bone's connected to the neck bone. The neck bone's connected to the shoulder bone. The shoulder. You know that song? Okay. Let me give you the Christian version. All right. Ready for the Christian version? The ear is connected to the heart. That's all I got. I only got one verse to it. Okay. The ear is connected to the heart, and protect the heart with all diligence, for out of that are going to flow the issues of life. What are the issues of life? The issues of life are what you're going to be able to produce, what you're going to be able to accomplish on this earth. What kind of heritage are you going to set for your kids and your grandkids? What's it going to look like? What are you going to do? What are you going to accomplish? Because, and I'm talking, I'm talking to Christian people. And I'm not trying to be negative, but we need to start accomplishing great things. We are the sons of men, and the sons of men are supposed to have dominion on this earth. And if we would just shut down the junk, if we, what God said, listen, these are the plans from God. God is instructing his soldiers. God is instructing. We used to teach sing a great song. You know what? In the Baptist church. Oh, I learned so many great songs in the Baptist church. Hallelujah. One of the ones we used to sing was, onward, Christian soldiers, going out to war with the cross. Oh, it's too high. Where's Isaac? Going on before Christ the royal. Anyway, I need to stop. We are an army of God. And our calling. No, I just couldn't hit a note, and I wanted to show you that. I started too high, and then. We are soldiers of God. And God woke up one of the, I don't want to say my ranking is too high. I don't understand rankings, but God woke up one of the lieutenants on Tuesday morning and said, tell the people this. Tell them, watch what you say. Watch what you fear. And most importantly, watch what you hear. Because you've got to protect your heart. And we think, you know what, that because they tell us that on a news, why? Because you know what kind of people we are? You know, it still trips me out. It still trips me out. I still believe the news. Because I'm just gullible that way. We're just like, everybody's good. Everybody's nice. Everybody's telling the truth. Everybody. And they're not that way. Jesus said to the scribes and Pharisees, they're of their father, the devil, Satan. When he comes, a lie. That's what he says. Who's he talking about? He's talking about people. Listen, news agencies have this agenda, and we need to be aware of their agenda. We need to be bold to turn it off. One, two things, catch it. One, just outright lies. You need to turn it off. Number two, not outright lies, situations that seem real. But God hadn't called you to accept reality. God has called you to change reality. Amen. That's how it is. That's how it is. You know what? If we had that's how it is mentality, we would be bacon right now. You know that? How many know this is true? Because we would, here, you want me to prove my point? I'm going to count to three. I want everybody to stand up and go out there in the sun, and I'm going to stay out in the shade. I'm going to preach you out in the sun. Amen? And in about like 15 seconds, you'll get my point. None of this would be here. We're not called to just see reality and say, well, that's what it is. That's what it is. Are you learning something today? So as soon as Jesus heard that word spoken, he said to the ruler, do not be afraid, only believe. Believe what? Believe what you believed. Listen, believe what you believed before you heard the bad report. See, some of you used to be believers, but you've allowed the bad report to cause you to become unbelievers. Amen. You've allowed situations. You've allowed situations in your health, in your marriage, in your finances to convince you that what you used to believe, you can't believe anymore. And God is saying to you the same thing that he said to this man. You know what? Stop. Don't revert back. Don't allow words to dictate to you what's going to happen to your child. So what does he do? Watch what Jesus does. Let me remind you. Watch what you say. Watch what you fear. Watch what you hear. And what was the emphasis when God spoke to me? Was the last thing, watch what you hear. See, what you hear is going to dictate what you fear, and what you fear is going to dictate what you say, and what you say, your whole life is run by what you say. You don't believe it? Read James. You don't believe it? Read Jesus, what Jesus said. He teaches this over and over and over again, the Word of God. But watch what Jesus does. And he, because let me tell you about God. Somebody say God is smart. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, and the brother of James. All he says, watch this, because we sometimes skip over the most important parts. He says, okay, guys, whoa. What happened to Israel? They have 12 spies. And notice this. Moses picked, hey, can I preach this to somebody today? Moses picked 12 people to go out and spy out the land. Do you know who they were? They were leaders. Leaders, be careful. Act like leaders, amen. Don't let a little boo freak you out. You know what I mean? You know, I like, what's that movie, Grinch. I like Grinch. You know what I mean? Remember? He's like, Arr! Remember that little girl? She's like, yeah, I think you need a timeout. Remember that? You know what? Some leaders let a little boo freak them out. We can't let a little boo freak us out, leaders. He picked the leaders. And what did the leaders do? The leaders came back. Two of them had the right report. 10 of them had the wrong report. Can I tell you what? We have a tendency can I preach to somebody? We have a tendency to quicken our ear to the negative. We just do. I'm being honest. We have a tendency to listen to the gossip. Listen to not even the gossip, just the negative report. Ooh, did you hear? COVID, more COVID than ever. Ooh. The boo! I'm not saying COVID isn't real. I'm not saying don't wash your hands. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, you know what? Let God be true and every man a liar. Stop listening to every negative report. You know what I mean? You become like a dancer. You know, you're like, what are you doing? You listen to all the negative stuff. You know what I'm saying? Oh, negative over here, negative over there. Oh, look at me. Right? 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 And what do you get from that? You know what? You get tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Oh, this is going to happen. Oh, this is going to happen. God tells Joshua, who he knows he's going to go into lands that he's going to have to conquer. He, listen, the Israelites didn't go into a land, and when they went, and it's like, oh, their enemy said, oh, go ahead, take our homes, take our wells, here you go. That's not what happened. God knew he was going to have to be strong and courageous, and he tells him, don't look to the left. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Stop it. Just look at my word. Keep looking at it day and night. Don't just look at it, but eat it. Respond to it. Act on it. That's the important thing. So he says, what does he say? He says, guys, let me tell you what, I understand what happens in this man's life. If I allow all these people to go with me, they're going to go, oh, she's dead. She's really dead. How long she been dead? Wow. Well, it's been an hour. Ooh, it's been a half an hour. Ooh, it's been 2 hours. Ooh, now she's really dead. And there's, he's going to talk and talk and talk. And he's like, no way. I'm controlling the situation. I understand how people are. You. And here's what I believe. Get to heaven, we'll find out. But I believe he picked you, and you, because he thought, you know what? You three have the smarts to keep your mouth shut. Right? That's what I believe. He trusted those three. They saw him. Don't doubt, only believe. Jesus could have given them the eye. It's like, hey, God, you're short. Right? But all you others, I don't know about y'all over here. You're not coming with him. I cannot afford that. Then he gets to the house. What happens when they get to the house? All these people are going, ah! They're crying. They're upset. They're, of course, this 12-year-old girl dies. Of course they're upset. But then when Jesus says, listen, when you start to call the things that aren't as though they are, when you start to do that, you know what? Just get ready for people to laugh at you. You know, your marriage is a mess, and you say, you know, let me tell you what, I tell you what, I'm married to a man of God. You know, I'm married to a woman of God. Your finances are a mess. You're like, I tell you what, I'm getting out of this mess. The doctor has given you the worst report you've heard in all your life, and you continue to say, by his stripes, I'm healed. In the name of Jesus. Tony, how many people mocked you and mocked you and mocked you? You know what, as you're wearing a boot, day after day, week after week, month after month. You know what? But he didn't come off what God had promised him. And he tells all these people, you know what he tells them? He says, get out. Read it. He tells them, get out. There's some people going to go up with me. Who are they? They're you, and you. And mom and dad can come too. But that's it. That's all who were there. See, what's he teaching us? Guys, listen to me. All eyes up here. Listen to me with great intensity. You have to control what is going in your ear. Some of this news, it's mixed in with entertainment, and you can't be swayed. You got to be disciplined just to say, I will no longer listen to this junk because I can't afford it. It's costing me too much. You got Christians and leaders, and they don't pray prayers of faith anymore. They don't believe that the sick are going to be raised up. They don't believe that their churches are going to be changed. They don't believe people are going to come into the church and be saved. They don't believe marriages. They're like, listen, I hear them. They're like, people don't change. Oh my goodness, you need to get saved. or stop listening to the junk you're listening to. Some of the music that you listen to is so filled with I don't know whom I speak to. Ladies, listen to me. There are so many performers now that are great performers. They have so much talent, but they have been hurt by men, and they are so bitter. And you're listening to them, and you need to turn them off because they are not what your spirit needs. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you the truth. You know what? Oh, but I like country. So much of country is so filled with just, can I speak the truth to somebody? Listen to country. So much of country is so filled with drinking and drinking and, oh, and drinking. Drunkenness and beer and whiskey and wine and beer and whiskey and wine and beer and whiskey and wine. I mean, oh, yeah, oh my. Exactly. And I just say, hey, it's just country. No, it's just garbage. It's just garbage. You don't like country? Listen, you play country all you want. It's talking about Jesus and the Holy Spirit and all that stuff. Now, praise God. I'll sing country all along with you. Amen. If they're talking about Jesus. But if they're not, I mean, it's just trash. See, now is not the time. See, let me tell you one last story. There was a guy who went to boot camp. This is in the Vietnam War. And he was in boot camp. In boot camp, they're training you and they're trying to do the best they can. And right after boot camp, he was shipped off to Vietnam. Right after boot camp, he's shipped off to Vietnam. And now he's in Vietnam. And the bullets aren't rubber bullets anymore. They're real bullets. And this is a little graphic, but I say this on purpose. I want you to catch this. And the guy was walking on the trail, and he saw a helmet, and he wasn't paying attention. And he kicked the helmet, and when he kicked the helmet was connected to a soldier that was dead, riddled with bullets. And he recognized, you know what? I'm in war. I'm telling you this, church, and I love you with all my heart, but I'm telling you what the message from God was when I woke up Tuesday morning. And the main message that God told me is you need to be very disciplined in what you are listening to, because this, what you're listening to, is starting to affect you, and you can't afford to be affected. You've got to be a strong leader, and you've got to be able to believe what I tell you. You got to believe, even though things seem like they're going this, even in our country, they seem like they're going this way. But I need you to believe that they're not going this way. And I need you not only to believe they're going this way, but I need you to believe it so much that you start to speak it and you start to believe it. I don't have time because I'm out of time, but you know what? The importance of not only what you believe, why you believe is so important, is because what you believe is what's going to come out of your mouth. Okay. Can I have 5 more minutes? Raise your hand if I can have 5 more minutes. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. Praise the Lord. Actually, I'm just joking. But I want to show you something. No, really. Can I show you one more thing? Oh, now I got to think of where it is. Oh, yes, thank you. Mark chapter 4, and look at verse 24. How many ever know a scripture, but you have no idea what's around the scripture? Come on, be honest. Okay, happens all the time. I knew that the Bible said, take heed to what you hear, and I thought, I need to use that. Then I looked it up, and I saw what, in context, what it was talking about, and it just blew me away. Look what it says. Then he said to, let me tell you what the context here is before this. He's talking about the sower sows the word, which is talking about a reaping and a sowing. Don't be deceived. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. It's in that context that he says this. Watch what he says. And he said to them, take heed to what you hear. With the same measure that you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. I was like, wait a minute. What is he saying there? Let me show it to you again. And he said to them, take heed to what you what? Hear. See, we never put in correlation with hearing with sowing. But Jesus put the correlation with hearing and sowing. Do you see it? See, we think giving is sowing. But Jesus says hearing is sowing. Because when you hear, you're sowing into your heart. And with the same measure that you are, that, do you catch the context? It's like, what is he saying here? With the same measure, watch this. And he said to them, take heed to what you, with the same measure that you use, it will be measured to you. What's he saying? You're going to listen to that trash. You're going to sow into your spirit trash. And with that same measure, it's going to be measured out to you. That's why God said, watch what you hear, or watch what you fear, watch what you say, and watch what you hear, because we're in a battle, and he needs, for sure, people in charge to get this. And then he needs people in charge to teach other people. You can't afford it anymore, guys. We're in a battle. We're not in boot camp anymore, guys. Have you noticed what's happening to our country? The talk of where our country is gonna go, could go, is so ruinous to our country in so many ways. We can't just afford to watch whatever we want to watch. I encourage you, every single one of you, you know what? If you're not working, watch tomorrow at 10 o'clock and start to get right here and start to grow up in the things of God. Start to be serious. Start to be not so casual. Oh, you know what? Oh, I didn't make it Sunday. Oh, I was at the whatever. You know, and really, where do you go anyway nowadays? You know? Praise the Lord. Okay, my sweetheart, you got anything to share at the end? We don't want to stop this broadcast that we don't give you a chance to accept Jesus. If that's you, I want you to pray this with me. Maybe you're watching at home. Maybe you're here and you're not in the family of God. You know about God, but you're not in the family of God. God is knocking on your heart and he wants you to say, Jesus, come in. Pray this with me. Jesus, come in my heart. I need you. Help me. I want to become a Christian today. I want to serve you instead of myself. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If that's you, I want to become your pastor. Give me a year. Come every Sunday. Come every Wednesday. And let me grow you up in the things of God. Watch what will happen in 1 year. Bring your Bible. Take it seriously. And become a child of God. Let me grow you up in the things of God. Now, very quickly, who else? This ministry, this message spoke to you. And I'm looking for signups. I'm looking for people who will say, Pastor, I'm gonna watch what I fear. I'm gonna pay attention. I'm gonna pay attention to what I say. And I'm really, really, really gonna pay attention to what I hear. I'm not gonna just turn on the radio anymore. I'm not gonna just turn on the TV anymore. I'm not just gonna watch the news because I got it. No, the newest gossip. Listen, guys, I'll say it again. It's not true. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Father, I'm recruiting people. We are recruiting. You are recruiting people. We need a church that doesn't walk in fear. We need a church that believes in whatever you ask us to do, we'll do. And Father, you see these hands, my hands up too. You see these hands that are up. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the example. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.